All right, what's up, everybody? This is the Coach Squad, episode 6, with Coach Jim Johnson and my buddy, Coach Jared Fell.
What's up, yo?
What's up? How you doing tonight?
Chilling.
Always words of wisdom to rule the world. Chilling. Well, Jared, I think, our listeners probably been, where in the world these fellas been? Usually we've been going about every other week, and I think we hit a 3-week span this time. A little caught up on a couple of things, but we're back at it. Going to be back in our rhythm now. Doing good. So how are you been?
Good. Nice. Been doing fine. Yeah. Been doing fine.
Well, we've had a lot going on, and we've had a lot to reflect on. We've had, we've gone over a lot in our first 5 podcasts about coaching and leadership. And setting goals and finding your why, well, knowing what your why is to get things done. And you and I were talking a little while ago, and you said something really important to me, that as we talk through things as coaches, as leaders, the things we talk about not only impact adults, but for a lot of the kids.
The kids, yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully that any of them that are listening out, that they understand that they're going through things as adults. We go through the same things, different parts of our lives, but
yeah,
hopefully this is helping them on different levels also.
I've been reached out to. I've had friends that have reached out that have asked, where this podcast has been, and it's kind of exciting to get back into it. We started lacrosse season again, and yeah. I've actually had a couple of kids quote some of the things that we've said on these podcasts. So, and it was all good stuff. It's made me, we've talked about this, it's made me actually think differently when other situations come up in our lives on how we end up, how I have to deal with things, just us talking through it. So, good times.
It's been great exploring it. And I think anybody who's turned and listened that maybe they're thinking some X's and O's were getting ready to come out. And the next thing we're doing is we're talking about how to try to lead people, whether it be a high school athlete up to adults or how coaches actually can get into it. And I do think it's as long as we go through this and we're exploring coaching and leadership, it's good to understand how to build that basis of finding out why you do it and, helping other people out. I think it really goes a long way. And you just had somebody recently reach out to you asking for some help with some leadership.
Yeah. Well, and the leadership both in, kind of the career that they are in, but also leadership and how do they deal with themselves? They've, ran into a spool of bad luck and it really set them for a loop. They really set them back. It's a very good friend of mine, and he was struggling just with, he reached out to me, shared some text messages, talked over the phone, just kind of discussed the things that were going on. He had a hard time figuring out his why. And he's read Simon Sinek's book, which we covered a while ago,
right,
which both of us, really enjoyed, and how to find your why. And he'd lost it. He said he lost it. So it's something, like you said earlier with the kids, adults lose their why. And I think it's something you've got to find all the time. I think you got to be searching for it. And one of the things he asked was, how do I find it again? So how do you find it again?
Well, when you and I talked about that, I think, you said adults, we can lose our why. Figure out, we talked earlier, it was all kind of happy-go-lucky. Oh, why do we do this? Whether it be as a dad, son, coach, brother, uncle, whatever it is. And, I think as kids, the high school, we talk about kids with COVID, them finding, why should I finish school? What should I do? Play a sport, different things, further education, anything. I think it's easy for us to sit here and people are like, oh, yeah, it's easy for you too to talk about it, But when you're in the mix, but we're in the mix, and I was happy to hear somebody reached out to you, and it sounds like you're, based on conversations we had, helping them out. But it got me to thinking a little bit more. It's like, what happens if you lose your why, kind of your purpose to do some things, or you think you've lost it? And so I started looking up different articles of how to find your why. And you know, I tried to look at it from a different perspective this time, is that, you know, when things don't go right, mm-hmm. What are you going to do? And I came across an article, it was written back in 2014, excuse me, from this guy named Mark Manson. And he does some lectures and different things like that. I did a little bit of research on him, but this one article he wrote, it was pretty interesting. It's called The 7 Strange Questions That Help You Find Your Life Purpose and Find Your Why. And I found that really interesting because we had talked about Simon Sinek on some different things in those books. But I was like, all right, so 7 strange questions. And he looks at it more in a, I don't want to say pessimistic outlook, but when I read you these questions, it may come across that way. But when I did a little bit of research, the reason he came up with 7 strange questions, they're a little bit of fun involved to him. It's because he believed that you should have some fun in your life when you're exploring your life. Hmm. Now, these aren't, by any means, we're not professionals. We're just quoting things we read or looking into it as two regular dudes. But I think most of the people who listen to us are like that too. We're all just regular people trying to figure out how to get through life. And so hopefully these questions can apply to something you're doing, or maybe you can help them. So I'm going to read this first one to you, and then I'll explain the question. So this one, I shared this one earlier with you.
So you know, I'm laughing because people can't see the joy you have on your face right now.
I know.
You're about ready to pop something.
This first question sold me. And here's the thing, is these are fun questions on a very serious topic. So the first question, and these are from Mark Manson and the 7 strange questions that help you find your life purpose. Question 1. What's your favorite flavor of shit sandwich? And does it come with an olive? So when I read that, what's your favorite flavor of shit sandwich? And does it come with an olive? I read that and I went, what in the hell does that mean? And here's what the author, he put about this. So it's not like in a high school pep rally where everything's all positive. It's like everything sucks some of the time. Everything involves sacrifice, some sort of cost. It's what struggle or sacrifice are you willing to tolerate? Ultimately, what determines our ability to stick with something we care about is our ability to handle rough patches and be able to ride out the inevitable rotten days. So I really, that question, and then right off the bat, everything sucks some of the time. I was like, no, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it does. It's so really, you know, helping you find a way is that what are you willing to tolerate, I guess, to a point to keep doing it? And I like with coaching isn't great all the time.
No it's not.
it sucks sometimes and for different levels, of course.
And for different reasons,
yes. I mean, I think you can look at it. Relationships suck sometimes.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, leadership, when you're at work, there's those days that things suck. But what's your level? What's that amount of shit sandwich you want to eat? And by green olive. I like green olive, not black. So I guess if you have a little green olive.
Says a lot.
I know. Well, I mean, what do you think about
it? When you drink a drink, do you pinkies have your
up,
pinkies
baby.
Up?
Pinkies too? Up.
You know that... Once you read that to me, I was thinking of a conversation I actually had with my son last night. I look forward to those times I get to be in the truck or the car with my kids because they are very captive audiences at that point, especially when you're driving down the interstate.
You don't get to go anywhere.
Yeah, they can't move. And in fact, I invite them to leave if they want. It's their choice. But when you said that, the conversation him and I had was based upon that same type of thing as what do you want to tolerate?
Right.
As a career path, because we were talking about college or education past school. You and I have talked about it before. The answer really isn't always a 4-year degree. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many other ways to get education. But I told him that I love my job enough that the days that suck, are still worth going. And it's because I enjoy what I do. I found my passion as far as career-wise and has been able to stick with that. And all I want to, and the reason why I like it so much is I was able to say on Sundays, when I sit down watching TV, getting ready to go to bed, I don't think to myself, damn it, I got to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the times, I get to go to work tomorrow. Now, there are those times I'm like, oh, I really don't want to go in because I know what's going to be waiting for me when I get there. But I can tolerate it. You know, the flavor is not as bad as it could be, right?
And the flavor. A little cringy.
A little cringy, you know, it might be a little bitter. But, you know.
There's somebody listening and just shaking their head at the moment.
But, you know, what flavor can you deal with? And the days that work kind of sucks, it's a different flavor. But I don't, you know, when you read that question, it really made me think about some stuff.
Well, I'm glad that got you thinking because I got the second question for you. And this one's just as good.
All right.
It's nothing to do with, I wish I had a deli bell. I'd go, bing, order up. So question number two.
There's an app for that probably.
You know what? I did think about having the sound effect and you just looking at me and go, what did you just do? I'm like, we're adding sound effects to the show. All right. So question two. What is true about you today that would make your 8-year-old self cry? So what is true about you today that would make your 8-year-old self cry? And so another question I had to look into has purpose though. The question's funny, but so if you had to, you know, as an 8-year-old, you want to play and have fun. If you went back and told your 8-year-old self, you no longer had fun, had no passion for anything, that things sucked, you'd probably make yourself cry. And why would you want to grow up? Why do you want to? You talked about you just had passion for your job thing. I mean, you're not going to make your 8-year-old self cry on that. That's cool. I got to admit, though, when I read that question and I learned a little bit about it, I went to the movie Step Brothers. And when the Catalina wine mixer, and I cleaned it up because there's a way you have to say that. But when the stepdad starts talking about growing up, he always wanted to be a dinosaur. And so he's looking at the two guys and he's saying, and he's got his little arms,
T-Rex arms.
I always want to be a dinosaur. Be your dinosaur. Don't forget. That actually clicked. It resonated. I don't know if it's because of Step Brothers part of it. I mean, you could go back and really scare yourself at 8 years old. I mean, think about it. If you went back today, and that could go any age of us, you know, if you told your 8-year-old self different things, you know, would they go, wow, that's pretty cool? Or would you make them cry?
Yeah. Well, at 8 years old, you know, I was going to be Rambo. That was one of the things I was going to be. And then I was also going to be a professional baseball player or a basketball player. And I'm sure I was running around. If my mom was still alive, she'd probably tell me what I was doing at that time, right?
Right.
And so what would you have – what would –
You know what?
Well, you've had more time to think about this.
I have, but I remember I went Step Brothers route, so it's probably.
But what would you tell your what would make your 8-year-old self cry?
I don't want to make my 8-year-old self cry. No, the point is not to make me cry. It's
you got to make him a man.
No. The point of the question is not to make yourself cry.
Okay.
It's for you to realize what you're doing in your life now.
Yeah.
You don't want to go back and tell your 8-year-old self to cry. You want to go back and be able for them to say, yeah, that's pretty cool. Because if you go back and make them cry, well, you're obviously, you haven't found your why.
They're so, weak, but yeah.
Yeah. But like you could go back, like you talk to your son, around, and you're like, yeah, I really have a passion. I love doing this. I love doing the different things. You could go back and tell your 8-year-old self that. And you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. You might not want to tell him you aren't Rambo. Or, I mean, but you are a wiffle ball Rambo. Playing jiu-jitsu black belt. So that's close.
Yeah.
All right.
Wiffle ball playing.
So I'm going to go to question number three. And this one. Once again, ding, ding, order up. Question number three. What makes you forget to eat and poop? You love that one, don't you?
What? Don't think I've ever forgot that I needed to poop.
You're not necessarily going to forget they had to poop.
Oh, okay.
But what makes you forget to eat and poop? There are times that you're probably caught up in something so bad that you haven't forgotten to poop, but you don't go poop. Okay? Somebody's turned in, they're like, the first question talks about a shit sandwich. The third question's forgetting to eat and poop. ladies and gentlemen, we're really not that bad. These are the questions. I'm reading them. We're exploring life right now. When you're done with these questions, you may laugh at us now, but we may have helped you solve a serious thing in your life.
Maybe.
Maybe not. We're not professionals, people.
Spoonful of Metamucil might help a lot of that out. But
all right. So what I thought about that question.
Yeah.
And what I did is I looked at what the author said, Mark Manson. It's that you get so wrapped up in the things and that you're at work, you're stressed out, that you're just putting so much energy into something that you forget that you got to eat or poop and that you're stressed out. But what if you took that same dedication, that same desire, that same fire, and really applied it to something that you love? Now, I would say this, kind of maybe against the author's deal, maybe I don't understand the question well enough, but if I really love what I'm doing, I'm probably going to make some time to eat and poop. But I do get what he's talking about. Is if you really put forth the passion, I mean, I've gotten in my car. I've been so stressed out before. I've had one time I had an hour and 20 minute drive to work. And, you know, a pretty easy drive. But I've gotten in the car and 45 minutes in, forgot. I was like, oh, I never turned the radio on. Mm-hmm. Just kind of in thought and stuff like that. It wasn't because I was in a good spot. Just celebrating the day, it was because I was stressed out about the day. But I think if you were to put that much thought into positive things or that much energy into positive things, man, what could you do? I think that's when you're putting that much energy into something, finding your why. What do you really love that you could put that much energy into?
So it's funny you say that because I can relate it to work and then to coaching. I have gotten to the point where I haven't eaten and forgotten to eat because I'm so excited about what I'm doing.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I'm at work and I've actually right now I'm working on a project that I'm really passionate about. I really like doing some research and stuff. And, you know, when I sit down and start dealing with the data and all that stuff, I don't think about. And there's been days that not other than my wife making dinner, it's very easy for me to forget to eat.
Yeah.
And then also when we've had, so Saturday we had our first workout
right
for lacrosse. I came home and I was so excited. I thought we had such a great practice, this great, great workout that didn't bother me. And I woke up, I didn't eat, went there. So those are types of things I'm so excited about. I don't think about.
Yeah, giddy.
Giddy, yeah. Because I went home, I made some notes about what we did, workouts I did, some of the things I liked, shared them with my wife, and then shared them with my son that wasn't able to be there. And it was great, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the things. Now, stress-wise, I don't know if I've ever forgotten to eat stress-wise. I get so stressed, that's all I do. I peace, right? Wow. I find something. At work, I jump in the truck and go, you know, find something, go to the cafeteria.
I'm opposite.
Are you?
I've been in spots where you're grinding. Next thing I know, I'm 16 hours at work. And that's why I don't do that job anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I could say, I think the giddy part where you talked about practice, I would come back. I was giddy about that too.
Yeah.
I think I had a cup of coffee and no breakfast and I just ready to be at the field. And I think that's what he means by that is just getting that. Now I had my morning poop, so I was okay. So I didn't forget that.
Boy, we dig deep in on this.
I know.
People are going to know more about you than
like, good Lord, I'd like the other five better. All right. So question number four, how can you better embarrass yourself? So I like this one. And so as a leader, you have to have like that humbleness, that humility, that it's okay that you're going to fail or make mistakes. I think that's what, to me, that's what that means is that you can embarrass, you don't always have to be the right person or do the right thing or the cool person necessarily that is always, it's, you know, everything
always
is,
have to be right.
Yeah, you don't have to, yeah, that you can screw up or even like we've sat in front of the kids coaching. And we act like a fool sometimes. I mean, stupid dad jokes, whatever it is. I think that's part of the game anymore is we have to do that. But I think that's part of it. You got to be willing to embarrass yourself. That's the humility part of that. So
I do a good job embarrassing myself most of the time. And that's kind of I think it actually shows that you're human.
Yeah.
You know, if you can stand in front of people and are not afraid, I'm not going to say not afraid to make a mistake, because people don't want to make a mistake, at least, and really get called out on it. But if you're willing to stand in front of people and admit that you made a mistake and show that it's, show you have some humility and maybe make fun of yourself a little bit, I think it opens people up to recognize that you are more than just the boss or more than just the head coach, or, you know, you're something different than they're looking at the time. Because every time we step on the field or you step into an office, you carry some sort of a clout, right?
Right.
You're known as head coach. You're known as coach. You're known as the boss. You're known as the lead. You're known as that stuff. Because you walk in the room, they just know it. But when they recognize that you're something other than that, I think that draws people a little bit closer. They listen more.
I like what you said. I mean, it makes you human.
Yeah.
So that's good. All right. Question 5. Here we go, Superman. How are you going to save the world?
One day at a time.
One day at a time.
Every day I wake up.
So I had to look at that one. Because when I saw that, I think when you're trying to figure out your why and the question says, how are you going to save the world? You probably go into a state of misery and you're like, well, hell, I can't figure out how to save myself. How am I going to save the world? And I think that's a pretty big thing. But when I looked into it, it doesn't mean you're literally trying to save the world. It's like, what can you do to impact one person and in a positive way? And I think coaching, so as a coach, we've talked about, we impact people. You know, that whole, hey, coach, that thing when somebody says that to us is, we are offering that leadership. Sometimes people, maybe it's that surrogate dad or brother or uncle, whatever that is, but we also pride ourselves. We try to teach, you know, more than just lacrosse. We teach some life things, whatever. And I think at work, just working on that too is, and like with you, you do jiu-jitsu and you're helping people, you're coaching those people to learn a new skill to better themselves, a dedication. So to me, it's, and what he talked about where you better one person is, if you better one person, then what if they better one person? Mm. Who betters one person? This ripple effect, you know, throwing the stone out in the water, that ripple effect of how you can really actually touch the world at that point. So.
Yeah, when you said that, I wrote down, it was funny because as you finished explaining, it's basically the same thing I said, but whose world, right? Excuse me, right? Whose world are you saving?
Right.
You're saving yours? Probably ought to save your world before you try to save anybody else's, right?
That's a good point. You know, I think maybe if you're saving somebody else's, so let's say you're going through a bad spot and you're teaching somebody jiu-jitsu, but maybe they're going through a bad spot also.
Mm-hmm.
But by teaching them jiu-jitsu, they start to believe in themselves. They build some self-confidence. They get dedication, work ethic, you know, some basic things there. But you're still in a bad spot. You're having some, but I'm not saying you're putting on a front, but maybe by helping them, it helps you come back to finding your why.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
So I do think, you know, you're right. Maybe, you know, you got to try to, you know, what is it? You got to get the cards in your house straight or something like that. But I think that you can actually, it helps better yourself by helping somebody else.
So that kind of goes back to, you know, what we talked about, that guy that reached out to me.
Right.
To find your why, sometimes you have to help people find theirs to recognize where yours is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you talked about the jiu-jitsu side, last week I was, after class, I was talking to one of the students that wanted to help empower some of the people that were around them by being able to, like you said, believe in themselves, have some self-confidence that they could be able to deal with themselves. It's funny that you say that. If someone learns to protect themselves, they have confidence in themselves to be able, and they carry themselves differently. Mm-hmm. You can see it in kids when we teach kids jiu-jitsu. We're not teaching them to be bullies or anything like that. In fact, we really try and persuade them from being that, right? Because that's what we're trying to empower them with. We're trying to empower them with the ability to believe in themselves that they can handle the situation. And you can see the kids stand up a little bit taller. They walk out. They come in the gym, shoulders hung over. After you start teaching them, within some time, couple of months, 6 months, whatever, you see them standing taller because they feel better about themselves. They feel confident that if a bad situation comes around, they're going to be able to overcome that situation. You see a lot of that with wrestlers, which is kind of I never wrestled through high school. It was always basketball, football, and baseball. But wrestlers have an aura about them that comes across as cocky, but what it is confident because they spend hours getting crushed. Their practice is a fight from the beginning to the end. Because when I used to help coach it, and through jiu-jitsu, it's a fight from the time you step on the mat to the end. It's not a fight with the person across from you. A lot of times it's a fight that you have with yourself. Can you deal with that pressure? Can you deal with the stress that someone else is, you know, putting on you? You can make the correlation through any sport, right? Football, you can make it through, you know, the soccer. You can make it through any sport. And I think that's why sport and music, I think all the arts, there's ways that people are able to gain confidence in themselves to be able to deal with issues when they come up because they've dealt with them in a different manner. I use wrestling, for example, only because I really saw that and jiu-jitsu in kids' lives, seeing it in my kids' lives. So when you say when I'm lost, right, I can't find my why, a lot of times I find it when I get back on the mat.
Right.
And it's because I'm helping others, which finds my why again.
There you go.
Anyways.
That's how you're saving the world. And by the way, no one can see your face while you're talking, but when you start going through those different sports and you said soccer, you always get a grimace on your face.
Now, I do.
We both coach lacrosse, and me and the ex-soccer player, I know it hurts you to include that as a sport, but it is the world's largest sport, just so you know. Okay.
Yes.
So,
real sports use hands and feet.
They do throw-ins. All right. Question number 6. He's such a jerk, ladies and gentlemen.
Grass fairies.
I know. All right. We went squirrel. All right. Question number 6. We've kind of touched on this one. All right. Question 6. If you knew you were going to die 1 year from today, what would you do and how would you want to be remembered? So if you knew you were going to die 1 year from today, what would you do and how would you want to be remembered? And I read that question. I immediately went to our other podcast. We were talking about, you know, if you knew you couldn't play tomorrow, how hard would you play today? And so that really, it's basically the same thing. And I mean, we really were digging into that before, but I think that's pretty important.
And it goes to the eulogy thing.
Yes.
Right? How would you want to be remembered?
Yep. Are you going to have somebody, you know, is it a resume or a eulogy? I've had a lot of people say stuff to me about that. They're like, I never really thought about when I'm writing that stuff, how my eulogy, you know, or is it a resume kind of deal? And, you know, it's how you want to be remembered, definitely that eulogy. So what are you putting forth the effort? And, you know, that.
So it's kind of funny you say that. What if I had a year to the day, what would I want to do? There's a lot of things I'd want to do. But would I want to be remembered by the things that I did, right?
Well, think about if you had to make a list and say, all right, this is what I want to do. How do you, if you had to do, all right, here's my top 10 things I want to do. How do you do what's 1 through 10?
Mm-hmm.
Like which one's got to be number 1? And then 10 means that's the last one. But to your point, man, I don't know if you want to be remembered by all those things.
Yeah.
I mean, it might not be bad, but. I mean, that definitely would be interesting.
I posed that question to a person today. If you could walk out the door today, it's kind of the same thing. If you could walk out the door, what would you do? If you could walk out the door and do anything you wanted to do, what would you do?
Well, that actually leads into the next question.
Oh, really?
It does. So question number 7 is, if you had to leave the house all day, every day, where would you go and what would you do? So you asking somebody that question actually goes in and that's his last question he asked, is if you had to leave your house all day, every day, where would you go and what would you do?
You have no choice. You have to walk out the door.
You got to walk out your door. You have to leave your house every single day, I don't know, 8 o'clock in the morning. You can't come home till 5 o'clock at night. Where do you go? What do you do? I think that's really an interesting question. It kind of, you know, if you look at question six about, you know, if you know you're going to die a year from now, and so what would you do? That's in a year. What are you going to do in that year? And what do you want to be remembered by? So if you look at this, that you had to leave your house every day, I think the point of that question is definitely is like, when you walk out the door in the morning and you go to work and you come back, or you go to school and you come back, go to practice, whatever it is, you know, you may not love everything. It comes back to the shit sandwich.
Yeah.
But what are you willing to tolerate? I guess to get to your happiness. And I think that's you know, it would be, if you had to think about it, like, would you do the same thing every day? Also, I think I'd throw that in there. Like,
I think you get bored of it at some point.
So, all right. That's a great.
Maybe.
Thing. Well, if you knew you could have like paradise, your number one thing, I don't know, whatever, you know, paradise every day, would you get bored of it?
Remember the movie Groundhog Day?
Yeah.
Remember by the end of the day, he jumped in front of a car. He learned everything. It just got boring. And so remember back in the day, which was almost a year ago, we could actually walk out our door and not have to come back because we had to go to work.
Yeah.
Or kids went to school. I can't stand going to school, Dad. I don't want to go to school. Now what do they want to do?
They want to go to school. It's funny how that goes around. And it's kind of the same thing, is that, you know, I used to say, man, I'd love to work from home every day. I think I got maybe 30 days into it and I was like, oh, hell no, I can't stand working from home. I think it's, you know, it made you, no, I like what I do, but I didn't like how I had to do it at that point. But that, I thought that was pretty interesting. The last two questions in particular, you know, I think the difference between the number six question about if you're going to die, you know, what would you do and how would you like to be remembered? How would you like to be remembered, I think, is pretty big. And then that last one is, if you had to leave your house all day, every day, where would you go and what would you do? I mean, I think if you won the lottery today, would that make a difference in your happiness, really? On a financial point.
Financial point, yeah.
But at that point, you could go and do some things, but... I don't know. I thought it was pretty interesting questions to kind of explore that and to try to help you find that why. Why do you go do things? And, you know.
I think it's interesting if you link it, the 8-year-old self.
Right.
And the, you got a year to live.
Right.
Would you want to go back to be your 8-year-old self?
And go Groundhog Day and live all the years over again?
No. Go to your 8-year-old self. Carefree for the most part, right? As far as us adults are concerned, 8-year-olds have no problems other than who am I playing with today and what, or I guess now what website you're going to, can I get on ABC Yaw or whatever, right? But if you had a year to live, would you want to return to your 8-year-old self or the carefree life of an 8-year-old? Or
I don't think I'm speaking off cuff.
I want you to.
I don't think I would. I'm happy with my life. I mean, I think I could go back and tell my 8-year-old self I've had fun. And I mean, I've been served some stuff. Order up.
But you've had that sandwich,
I've
right?
I've had it a couple of times. Sometimes I felt like I was eating a buffet of them. But that's...
Well, real shitty flavors too, right?
Yeah, all tasted the same. No matter how many olives were on it. But I think... Overall, though, if I looked at all the different things, no, I wouldn't go back to be the 8-year-old. I like where things have gone and what they've done. Now, that's me. There's some miles to be. Oh, hell no. I'd go back to be an 8-year-old tomorrow. And I understand that.
Sure.
I will completely understand that. But I think the things that you have to do is you have to come back to figure out if you're that willing to go back to be that 8-year-old. It's like, what's wrong now? And maybe what can you figure out? And these questions were fun questions, but what can you use to really start to guide yourself or to find out? And I think you can use those things. You got to find a why. I mean, whether you're a high school athlete trying to figure out your life and you've been dealt a shit sandwich, you know, in the last few years.
Yeah.
you know, how do you find your why to what you want to do, to what excites you? You know, like you talked about your career being excited. You talked about when you get on the mat with somebody in jiu-jitsu, it's kind of like, it sounds like a level set. You know, you're able to find your why helping somebody else. I think especially the younger people who are coming out of school who have listened to us, they've got to start to, you know, figure those things out. They don't have to, whatever they find out, their why is not going to be the same in 20 years. You know, I don't think. I mean, we've talked about ours. Yeah. Ours evolved. We've been,
right.
You know.
I think it always evolves, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, 20 years ago, we weren't dads. Well,
no.
Yeah.
Well, I was.
Yeah. Well, actually.
We both were, actually.
So let me go. 30 years ago, we weren't dads. But
you were a lot older than me 30 years ago.
Then. I am a bit older. But I think the questions are fun to look at, to really start to try to figure out your why. And it's funny, I was sitting here when you just mentioned Groundhog Day. I'm like, all right, so anybody listening to us is going, of all the things we referenced, it was of movies, it was Groundhog Day and Step Brothers.
Step Brothers, yeah.
So they can kind of see along.
You'd bring old school in.
Our thought process of where things go.
You know, real quick, we had it one of the high points for me on Saturday, and I think you really enjoyed it too, is the one player that came to us and told us about his opportunity to have a full ride scholarship.
Yes, that was awesome.
And one thing that he said to me that was really interesting kind of ties into this. He goes, all of the hard work and the crap is worth it. He studied really hard. Yeah. I know his parents pushed him hard to make sure that he, you know, he did his schoolwork and stuff. I remember coaching him in a different sport and just, can I make this kid quit? And honestly, I tried and he didn't. But he said it was all, you know, the schoolwork and the studying and all that. He goes, yeah, it's worth it. So the shit sandwich that he was eating, that he thought he was eating all through high school, maybe it really wasn't a shit sandwich.
I think that's what you got to look back at and go, yeah, that sandwich overcooked a little bit. Wasn't too bad.
It wasn't all bad. It didn't taste as bad as I thought it did, right? So, you know, maybe that's the idea of recognizing that the shit sandwich eventually won't be.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know.
Look at this, learning something from a 17-year-old.
He's a good kid, too. We both enjoy him. We enjoy all the kids on our team, except a few.
No.
No, actually, it's funny because the kids, I've had some of our players say, well, he's your favorite. Well, he's my favorite because he's not pissing me off right now. And I've told that to my kids, right? Well, she's your favorite. Or he's your favorite. No, they're my favorite now because they're not pissing me off. So it changes from time to time. But these questions, you know, you read the one to me earlier and then these other ones, I think you read them to me before, but it actually, as fun as they are,
yeah,
they're pretty serious, right? I mean, they really kind of bring you around to reality a little bit.
Yeah, I really, you know, it's funny as we've talked about some more serious things and whatnot, but these questions, yeah. And I think his point of having some fun when you're exploring yourself,
yeah,
is to have some fun exploring yourself and to figuring out what you want to do. It's, you know, I think that's where, like when you were talking to the guy about trying to figure out his whys, the little things in there is, I mean, you really go through there. I mean, it's, you know, the funny things about what makes you forget to eat and poop. You know what I mean? Like, I think just because I said poop, he's laughing.
You just like it.
It's like Beavis and Butthead. But I know I did like saying that, I guess. But those are the things like, man, what if I did apply my energy to something different? Like if you really apply, so we apply our energy to so much, you know, the negative to really make sure it's not negative. But what if I really applied it to that positive? And I really liked them. I thought it was some neat questions to go over. I thought it was fun. So
we're getting to the end here, but I want to go back to the sixth one. That was the one that was about the how would you leave the world, right?
Yeah. If you were going to die 1 year from today, what would you do and how would you want to be remembered?
No, the seventh one. Read the seventh one again.
Oh, the seventh one?
Yeah.
If you had to leave your house all day, every day, where would you go and what would you do? I'll read the other one.
Yeah. Actually, what was the sixth one again? Read them all.
All right, read them all. Number one, what's your favorite flavor of shit sandwich and does it come with an olive? Number two, what is true about you today that would make your 8-year-old self cry? Number three, my favorite. What makes you forget to eat and poop?
Leave comments in the comment section about that one if you wish.
Yes. Number four, how can you better embarrass yourself? Five, how are you going to save the world? Six, if you knew you were going to die 1 year from today, what would you do? And how would you want to be remembered? And then seven, if you had to leave your house all day, every day, where would you go and what would you do?
So when you started reading them through, I wish I would have had these questions when that friend of mine was, we were, you know, I was trying to help him out with some of his things. And I wish I had those to ask him, because to be honest with you, I could, because I know him so well and I know the type of person he is, I know that because of the state that he was in, I know how he would answer those, all negatively, mm-hmm. all negatively. But each one of those questions, I could find 10 very easy positives to explain to him how he could answer those positively, right? Especially, you know, if you were going to die, how would you leave the world? If that dude dropped off the face of the earth right now, mm-hmm. which I'm glad he hasn't, and God forbid if he does, he's left the world in so much better position because of the way he's dealt and treated and helped people in many, many different ways. Ways he'll never know, right? And the only way to answer those for him, he doesn't feel that way, right?
I think you got to take these questions to him.
I'm going to, because I think these questions, I think I'm going to write them down and keep them, because if I start getting into that, you know, shit yeah. sandwich, right? It's a self-reflection on, did it really taste that bad? You know?
It's like he said, everything sucks some of the time.
I love that right there. That is fantastic. And I'm going to tell our players when we're going through, you know, conditioning. And my favorite thing is when we do 30 on, 30 off, and I say, you right. can do anything for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, if you... Everything's going to suck some of the time. And that's right. I mean, it's true. It's, huh. Look at you.
Yeah. I'm glad you liked it. All right, folks. Well, that's what we're leaving with you tonight is, I guess everything sucks some of the time. But find out what you're willing to tolerate. Find your why. You know what? Hit us up on Instagram. We are the Coach Squad. Email us at wearethecoachsquad@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. If you got some insight, something else you want us to share, let us know. And hey, check in on your friends. Check in on your family. Jared talked about checking on a buddy. And make sure everybody's good. You know, a lot of stress going on. Talk to them. Make sure they understand their why. Help them out. It'll probably help you out at the same time. So be nice to each other. Have a good time. Stay healthy. Stay safe, folks.
We're out.
Have a good night.